can help you out. Tell you who to start at QB, make you the king of fantasy. Check out the matchups. Now use all the experts and our tools at the FanDuel Manual. The Manual.
Week 9, FanDuel Manual, the Fantasy Football Podcast is back. I'm your host, Brendan Barnett. With me, of course, Chris Cowan, and the winner of Week 8's challenge, Douglas Hayes. Doug, tell us how you're feeling this evening after your second win in a row.
I'm feeling pretty good. I think that was by far my best week ever at FanDuel Manual. I won every single tournament I was in, including one where it was a tournament play where I won basically five times the amount I bet. So I'm feeling very good. But also, I thought some Brendan, you had 145 points, which would win pretty much any league. And Chris, in the 55K tournament, won the thing, chose Ellington, chose Stills. I mean, I think this is a good week for us.
I think so, too. Who's pushing buttons over there? Who is that? Is that Chris? Chris. I don't hear any buttons.
I don't hear any buttons either, buddy.
Oh, well, anyway, I think my phone just got tapped. I've been watching a lot of Homeland lately. Chris, listen, man, I know you didn't win. It's your second loss in a row, but there's a lot of big things happening for you. First of all, in our 55K FanDuel Manual League, which we had 20 people in this week, you took it down. That's pretty impressive. Also, something else big happened this evening. Can you talk a little bit about what happened to you this evening?
I don't know if you're referring to the Red Sox winning the World Series or me winning Merrimack Valley Conference Soccer Coach of the Year. It's two things there.
Well, I didn't know about the second one, but congratulations.
Thank you.
How many coaches were you up against?
400.
Is that real?
No, I think it was like six.
Six? Okay. Well, that means...
That's all good.
I mean, that's still good. And, I mean, by those standards, I think that you should be more proud of your week eight FanDuel Manual challenge, because there were 20 people you were up against in that.
I did. You know what's weird about the 55K thing is if you pick your stars and you don't do anything, you better make sure you hit on some relative no-names. And I had a hunch on Kenny Stills, and I had some late information on Ellington, which...
Wait, what do you mean late information on Ellington?
I knew before the game that Mendenhall was not going to play, and Ellington had been getting an increase in carries, and I just thought it was sort of the perfect storm for him, and he was incredibly cheap value, and it worked.
All right, if you get information like that again, and you're feeling very confident, let me know. I'll put it on our Facebook page.
Yeah, I will do that. But that makes one of the things that makes the Wednesday podcast tough is that I feel like I get a little bit smarter towards, you know, Sunday at 1 p.m. because of the information that kind of pours in from Twitter and all that. It's tough to get that out there on a Wednesday. I mean, injury report is hardly enough.
It's very true, and some of the picks that I make, I usually, with my team that I pick on this podcast, I choose it trying to be very risk-averse because you don't really know all what's going on with guys in practice during the week. As you learn more, that's why I kind of like the 55K. We can pick our 60K format, which, of course, we're going to do. There's 11 games this week that we're going to be talking about. There's 22 teams, the 60K. I think the cool thing about the 55K is that, you know, you can pick your team up to the last minute. It's kind of our listeners' chance to pick on the expert. So, yes, Chris, I think if you know something special about Andre Ellington or Kenny Stills, you can let us know. But our friend.
Maybe what we can do is, you know, we can do like a game day picks that we've kind of are heading towards with the 55K tournament, or people are getting a feeling for on game day, and we'll put it on the Facebook page. And so, including our podcast and our choices for the week, we'll throw in some of those people on the last day so you can help you with your FanDuel contest.
But doesn't that mean they'll use those, our own picks against us?
But that's just a fun tournament. We're here to help them make money.
That's true. Okay. Also, my brother, the handsome Barnett brother, we call him, Kyle Barnett, won, almost like you, Doug. He kind of did the same thing. He listens to the podcast, and he made bank. I think he made over $300 this week also. I won every single tournament.
He probably just copied my team.
I won every single tournament I was in except for the one that I was against you. And it was bittersweet because I had Seattle, and you had Golden Tate, Seattle's defense, and you had Golden Tate. But in my fantasy league, I have Seattle and Golden Tate. And I was like, oh, man, I don't know how this is going to play out. And immediately, Golden Tate just went off. So, congratulations, Doug.
Let me tell you, on that long pass, actually won me like $250, but you know how he was like taunting that guy, and I had a few drinks, and I was like, couldn't remember if that's a college rule or a pro rule, like if you taunt that it doesn't count as a touchdown, and I was like, oh my God, if this gets called back, I'm going to be so sad.
That's a real rule in college? If you taunt, they don't count it?
Yeah, like if you taunt during the play, they bring you back. Yeah.
That goes against everything I learned in beer pong in college.
Same rule to pro football.
Oh, wow.
All right, so we got to start these picks, or this is going to be an 8-hour podcast.
Well, listen, we can take, we do, like Doug, you mentioned a couple times, we do have a brand new Facebook page. Thank you very much. It's awesome. We also have our Twitter account, @FanDuelManual. We're taking questions at FanDuelManual@gmail.com. I always think the best place is the website is FanDuelManual.com, where you can get everything. You can get the podcast. You can get the spreadsheet. You can get our picks, our locks of the week. You can get it all. Let's see.
Yeah, let me just talk real quick about the new Facebook page. It's good because each day I can kind of update the different podcasts, the updates we have to the site and stuff like that. So make sure that if you are listening to the podcast that you make sure and like our fan Facebook page, because it'll have all those links on it, have them throughout the week. So tomorrow we'll put the podcast on there, and then on Friday we'll have the link to our contest. And right now we have 400 followers.
Yeah, it's awesome. We also have over 3,000 downloads. I didn't mention this. I know we don't want to have an hour-long podcast, but we did not get nominated for Podcast of the Year, guys. We just
what?
Well, I know we're kind of an upstart. We're not nominated this year, but you know, there's always next year.
Next year, bro.
All right, check it out. So this week, of course, it's the same thing. I already said there's 22 teams. There's 8 teams that we're not talking about this week. Thursday night games, Cincinnati and Miami, they're not involved. There are 6 byes this week. Denver, Detroit, the Giants, Arizona, 49ers, and Jacksonville are all out. So that means that I can't pick Eli Manning to do nothing again, and there's not going to be a team that's going to feast against the Jacksonville Jaguars this year, or this week. All right, so let's go ahead and get started with quarterbacks. Last week I chose a running quarterback, and it was pretty good for me. Colin Kaepernick did great. I kind of like going with a running quarterback, and so this week I went with Cam Newton at home against Atlanta. For quarterbacks, the number one and number two overall top bargains. Number one bargain is Philip Rivers. He's at 7,700. The second bargain I don't feel good about is Josh McCown for the Bears. Overall, highest projected point scores are Drew Brees, and then Cam Newton is second. So Cam's 23.3, and I can picture him having a big game against Atlanta. Chris, who do you have as your quarterback this week?
I went with a running quarterback as well. I know we like to joke around about this, but I went with Terrell Pryor.
Oh,
yes.
I guess, yeah, we're still joking about it, apparently. Pryor is coming off of a bye week, and offenses notoriously, or should I say famously, have much better, more productive weeks coming off of byes. And they're also home, and they're also against Philadelphia, who has an incredibly weak secondary. With all those things put together, I felt very confident with Terrell Pryor's value being where it was to select him as a quarterback who's a threat to run and also pass on a weak secondary, so I went with Pryor.
Oh, man. Fool me twice. Shame on me. I've been burned too many times. I thought about it, but I got burned. I could do it. Doug, where are you at?
By the way, if you look at his stats the last few weeks, the guy is actually playing pretty damn good. So, Brandon, you're just an idiot.
Oh, boy.
Well, I can't argue with that. Wait. Did you say Pryor or Barnett?
Doug?
All right, so I just want to tell one quick story. I have Stafford and Vic in one of my leagues, and so I had to pick up a quarterback this week, and Brady was available and Pryor was available, and I did go with Pryor. It's a tough day in New England when that happens, but that also probably means the kiss of death for Pryor anyway. So what I did go with is Philip Rivers. I think that he has a very good matchup against the Redskins. He has hold on 1 second, let me post up. The Washington defense allows the fifth most fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks. And Rivers has been completed 73.9%. And then he also has the third most fantasy points in football. So for the value at, let me see what he was at. It was a pretty good deal. Only 7,700. Yeah, 7,700. I think it was a very safe bet, and he will also produce some big numbers. So I want Rivers. I hate Philip Rivers, by the way, but he's playing better this year.
Doug, these are incredible stats. When you, I'd like to ask both of you guys this really quick. Doug, when you do your research, like you just pulled percentages of pass completion, points given up, where do you normally look to get your information if for our listeners that are trying to do their own research?
I just Google Philip Rivers sucks, and that's what came up.
Every time I do that, I just get the face of him going like this.
We don't know what you're doing.
I go on ESPN. I also go on the Fantasy Football Today. I go on Yahoo. And just for each of my picks that I do, and I've just started doing this the last couple weeks, I go to each of those to see how they feel about it, and then if they're all pretty positive, then I feel comfortable selecting that person.
Okay. Do you know that Philip Rivers has 12 children?
Not true.
I think he has Rogers Cromartie.
No, he has at least 7, though. That's not a joke.
Philip Rivers?
Yeah, all right. Him and Will Chamberlain.
Look it up, bro.
Hey, Chris. Same question to you. Like guys like Andre Ellington and Kenny Stills, I think I want to know where you get your information. I know everyone watches, you know, we all watch our Fantasy Football Today. We all go online, but where specifically when you're coming up with your picks, is there some place that you really like to look?
Do you mean like for game day or like for this podcast?
Either. Whatever is your favorite place, the information that you trust or how you make your decision?
I guess this is going to sound like nerdy and like ultra-modern, but I really do rely on Twitter quite a bit. I do have a pretty good knowledge base already just because I've been a fan of the fantasy football for so long, but I rely on who's going to start, who's going to sit, game day inactives, things like that. I think when it really comes down to making it a really savvy decision, you almost can't do it until you do get close to game time. Adam Schefter, Chris Mortensen, the NFL Network guys, Ian Rappaport. Matthew Berry's not so much a field reporter, so he sort of gives information based on the reports that he hears as well.
Right, yeah, he's doing kind of the same thing you are. He's looking at Twitter
exactly.
Just like you are.
Yeah, I think what you have to do is to look outside the box. You don't really rely on the fantasy advisors. You rely at that point on the actual NFL reporters to tell you, you know, the real world situations of who's going to play, who's not going to play. And you can sort of deduce from that who might be a good, who's going to get a lot of touches that day, who's going to see the field, stuff like that.
And honestly, Brendan, I do look at the spreadsheet to start with. Like, I look at that spreadsheet, see where the best values are, because that does take in the expert's analysis plus FanDuel salary, which can be, sometimes the FanDuel salary doesn't really match what you think or the experts think they're going to do. So I think that's a good place to start.
Yeah, I agree.
So comfortable with.
I still think it reminds me a little bit of trying to make a trade in one of my fantasy football leagues. If I try to make a trade, sometimes I'll try and go for a guy. Like, if I wanted to trade DJ Spiller, that's my number one overall draft pick. But it doesn't matter anymore. Like, he's not producing. But people still, they look at those things, and I think that some of the experts still kind of look at it that way. Like, they look at the name more than they look at the production. So for me, I like to look at the production. I like to look at the spreadsheet and see what the experts are saying about somebody. And then I think I also like Yahoo as a tool that I like that is on research. It says points against, and you can see QBs, who has given up the most points against QBs, wide receivers, running backs, tight ends. I mean, there's a lot of, I like to look at past performance to try to predict what's going to happen from week to week. I think you're right, Doug. It all starts with the spreadsheet, because that kind of gives me two or three quarterbacks to work with, and then it gives me four or five wide receivers to go with. Let's go to running backs. Chris, who do you have for running back this week?
I don't like to do this because I feel like between you and, actually maybe between the three of us, but I know for sure between Brendan and I, we've already used this person, but Eddie Lacy has been increasing his number of carries every week now for the past four or five weeks. Last week he had a career high, I want to say 29 carries. They're really giving this guy the rock, and I don't see that slowing down at home against a division rival Chicago team. And again, with the limited number of games and limited number of teams playing, I thought Eddie Lacy was really good value and a pretty sure bet to have the ball in his hands a lot on Sunday.
He is the number one overall value this
well,
week
good.
At running back.
I'm glad.
All right. In hour two, we'll do second running backs.
Well, let's talk more about how we get our information.
If you're in Yahoo or Google.
My second running back is Le'Veon Bell. He plays for the Steelers, who I wish were not in the league because I hate them so much. But they're playing against the Patriots, who, as we pretty much know at this point, are struggling up the middle because of the loss of Vince Wilfork. Teams are averaging around 130 yards rushing against them. Le'Veon Bell is sort of a young, exciting back. Pittsburgh wants to sort of, you know, make the focal point of their offense. So I thought this would be a great opportunity to use Le'Veon Bell.
So would you say times are tough in New England?
Against opposing rushers, yes.
Oh. I was trying to, like, give you a little bit to talk about the World Series again, but don't worry about it. Don't worry about it anyway.
Well, no. We're short on time, because we get to hear about your Yahoo.
Doug, give us your wide receivers.
Let me do the running backs first.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. That's
no, there's no time.
I also went with Eddie Lacy. I think that's a slam dunk pick. He scored 14
slam dunk.
Slam dunk pick. That's what I'm going to name that. He scored 14, 16, 16 the last 3 weeks. And it's a Bears defense that has allowed the 6th most fantasy points to opposing running backs. He just seems to be the main guy in that high-powered offense. And for the price that they're offering Lacy at, I don't know how you can pass him up. And then my other one is, I know I chose this guy a couple weeks ago and he really paid off for me, but Matt Forte, I think, is as safe as a pick as you can do in any of these leagues. He's had over 10 points in fantasy every single week of this year. Just so you put that in perspective, Peterson has had 3 weeks where he's been under 10 points. Cutler's out. They're going to rely on him a lot more. The Bears' offensive line is still good. So I think that is a very safe pick. It's a little bit more money, but you got to have a couple stars that you feel comfortable with. So I went with Matt Forte.
So Matt Forte and Eddie Lacy facing each other in that game. That'll be interesting.
Hopefully they just, well, all the quarterbacks get really hurt and they just do a runoff.
Runoff. I kind of disagree with
the first runoff.
I think one of my problems with Matt Forte is without a trusted passing game, I think that Green Bay is going to feel very confident loading up the box and trying to stuff that run. So that's one of the reasons that I stayed away from Matt Forte. With Eddie Lacy, I think that's a solid take, but I decided to spend my money on Jamaal Charles this week. He's the number one overall highest projected point scorer. He's projected at 21.8. It's close after that at Marshawn Lynch, but the guy's got over 20 points on average over 20 points per game. He's just been a beast this season. I think he is the number one running back. So I decided to spend my money on Jamaal Charles this week. As far as value, you guys went with the number one overall value with Eddie Lacy. I decided to go with Danny Woodhead. And I think it's a little bit of a risky pick, but Washington gives us the second most fantasy points to running backs. He's a second overall bargain. And save a little bit of money at 6,400, and he's projected at over 15 points at 16.5. I feel pretty good with spending the money for Jamaal Charles and then going with Danny Woodhead. With wide receivers, I spent my money at wide receiver on Jordy Nelson. So I have a little bit of stock in that Green Bay game. Jordy Nelson with Randall Cobb out, with Shmichael Finley out. I don't know. Like you said, Chris, we recorded this on Wednesday. I don't know what he's going to do, but Jordy Nelson is the guy. That's the guy that they're targeting. And he is...
Big week last...
What's that?
Big week last week. He's clearly Rodgers' guy, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, he's... Yeah, absolutely. He's the guy. And as far as the spreadsheet goes, when you look at overall highest projected point scorers, it goes Jordy Nelson, and then it goes Dez Bryant. And I'm going to spend my money on Jordy Nelson this week. The next guys are not as obvious. You guys spent your money on Terrell Pryor, and I'm hoping that Terrell Pryor is going to be passing the ball to Denarius Moore. He is unbelievably cheap. He only costs $4,900. And the Eagles' secondary is suspect. They've given up more receptions than any other team in the league. He's projected at 16.2. And then next, a guy that I chose a couple weeks ago was Keenan Allen before their bye week. He had a couple really, really high-scoring games and then just kind of an average game. And I think with Washington giving up the third most points to wide receivers, just a really good matchup for him. So I went with Keenan Allen as my third wide receiver. Doug, give me your wide receivers for this week.
We have two of the same. I have Keenan Allen for the reasons you said. The Washington defense allows the third most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers, and he was a pretty good bargain. You got to do a couple people that are a good steal. And he's really the only one that isn't completely proven, but I think he is going to have a good week, and he's a great bargain. My next one is Pierre Garçon. You know, he's on track to do 107 receptions on 178 targets and 1,100 yards. Maybe not a wide receiver one, but definitely a good wide receiver two for that price. And, you know, I think the matchup is favorable. In fact, I've also took another Redskin as well, which I'm a little nervous about given that they kind of struggled a little bit against the Broncos, but I really think that defense just kind of was blitzing on every play, which made it really hard. But I think they'll get back a little bit against the Chargers. And then the last one, Jordy Nelson. Nelson is clearly the Packers' top receiving option. He's had 19, 10, and 26 the last 3 weeks, and with all the injuries, he just seems like Aaron Rodgers' guy, which is not a bad place to be. That's it.
Brandon, are you there?
Brandon, you alive?
Chris, you're up. Come on, you know how this goes.
I did think he fell asleep.
Yeah, so I think we're kind of making a little bit of a habit out of this, but I, too, chose Jordy Nelson. Same reason you guys said. He is the guy in a high-powered offense. And pretty self-explanatory. He's in the top tier, but with not a lot of teams playing this week, top tier does not mean like $9,000. I believe he's 7 and change, so really good value, even though he's one of the best this week.
Yeah, he is. He is the best with the best value, and he is the number one overall point projected player. So, absolutely. I mean, it's kind of that adage where it's like if you're the number one, you're projected top. And you're that cheap, you kind of have to make him a roster.
Right.
I don't think I said that right, but thank you.
This was actually Josh Gordon for Cleveland. I typically don't enjoy picking a receiver with a very unsettled quarterback situation, but if you look at Gordon's numbers, he's getting a lot of targets every week, and his yards per catch is just out of this world. So I'm kind of trying to ride the hot hand there with Josh Gordon for Cleveland. He is playing against Baltimore, who is sort of inconsistent in terms of their pass defense, but I took a flyer on Josh Gordon, and I hope that he can continue what he's been doing.
He had an incredible week. Third. Yeah, he had like over 20 points. That's an awesome week. Who's up there?
My third guy is a guy I believe Doug chose last week in Golden Tate. Is that right, Doug?
Yeah, Golden Tate saved my... Yep. Tournament legs.
So the Golden Tate is only $5,000, I believe, and he is at home against Tampa. And if you know anything about Tampa lately, they are basically the new Jacksonville Jaguars. They are playing so bad, and anytime you can get a starting receiver, which Golden Tate is because of the uncertainty surrounding Percy Harvin and the injury to Sidney Rice, for $5,000, I think you have to almost jump on that in terms of value. So Golden Tate's my third guy.
Yeah, I think Golden Tate is a good choice because of the value and everything. I think their offense looks pretty scary right now in Seattle, but I think that might have been just a one-week thing. So, I mean, for $5,000, that's great value.
Right.
Yeah, for the money, it's a pretty good deal. I kind of agree with Doug. It's you know what? Dollars per point, it's less than 400, which is always great. It's 372, which is even better. But I've had him on both my fantasy teams, and he hasn't really done anything until this week. So, with Sidney Rice out, I mean, they're going to be running out of options. I've been hearing rumors that Percy Harvin is ready to come back. I'd be surprised if he's back this week. And even if he is, I still think he'd be limited. So, I really like that pick.
I don't think that Golden Tate is, I mean, he's certainly not my steal of the week or anything like that, but he's arguably playing in the biggest home field advantage in the NFL against the worst team in the NFL. So even with a struggling offense, I think for $5,000 I'd take a chance on him.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
I'll look for Golden Tate on your 55K team in that case. let's talk about tight ends. Chris, who is your tight end for this week? I think I already know who Doug is because he said he picked two Washington Redskins.
Don't blow it.
my tight end, I like to give our listeners some variety. I think it's helpful to throw out new names, but I can't help myself. I am taking Rob Gronkowski. He is a few hundred less than Jimmy Graham still, even though the targets are almost similar, and I think that every week it's only going to get better. Brady is looking his way a lot. The first game was a little bit ridiculous. I don't think that's going to be the norm. But last game he had about a 30-yard touchdown call back because of a holding call. If that thing stuck, he would have had an amazing day on paper. But, again, just being a New England fan, getting to see pretty much every play there involves him heavily in the offense. And because of that, I went with a few hundred bucks lower than what Jimmy Graham would have cost, so I took Gronkowski.
Okay. I think it's notable to point out that he is the fourth overall highest point projection. It goes Antonio Gates, Jimmy Graham, Tony Gonzalez, then Gronk. The bargains, best bargains from a salary perspective is Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates, Greg Olsen, then Martellus Bennett. I do have to say something about Tony Gonzalez. I've chosen the past 2 weeks, and all the teams are doing, I think, because Roddy White and Julio Jones are out, they just double team him, and it's kind of like what New England Patriots did to Jimmy Graham. I think they just try to neutralize him and make the team do something different. So far, they've been able to do that, so I don't know if he's going to have a resurgence because teams are going to kind of have to respect Harry Douglas. I'm not taking that risk. I'm going to go with Jordan Reed this week at home against San Diego. He's a pretty good steal. Also, he's really come on his last two games. He's had really big high-scoring games. Doug, who do you have as your tight end?
As you said before, I do have Jordan Reed as well. I think I was able to watch that Broncos game against the Redskins, and they target him almost every other throw. So I'm hoping between Pierre Garçon and Jordan Reed, that's pretty much where they throw it every single time. They're not really throwing it anywhere else. I do want to say that I think I tried everything to move it around to where I can get Jimmy Graham. I think he's going to have an amazing game against the Jets, who gave up so much against the Bengals, and that was the first game Andy Dalton even looked like a top-tier quarterback. So I think they're going to have an incredible game, and I would have loved to get Jimmy Graham, but with the money I had, I think Jordan Reed is the best steal.
Really? So for me, with Jimmy Graham, I respect the Jets defense, and I think
The Bengals just put like 70 on them.
I don't think it was 70. But
or you should have been.
I think that the fact that the New England Patriots can shut Jimmy Graham down, the Jets can put together a good defensive plan against teams. It can sometimes not, it can backfire, but for as much as Jimmy Graham costs, I wasn't going to try and make that work. Again, we're going to get into kickers and defense, which I think everyone loves kickers. I know that. Got a lot of backlash on Twitter about what I said about kickers last time. But for kickers, I decided that I do what I do every week, and I basically just take a spreadsheet, which I'm doing right now. I go to highest point projections, largest to smallest, and I find the first guy on there who is only 5,000, which is Sebastian Janikowski. But because I do not like the Raiders, I decided to go with Garrett Hartley also because I respect the Jets defense and think that there's a chance that they can hold them once they get into the red zone. So I want Garrett Hartley, 5,000, projected 11.4. Who do you guys have at kicker?
I do have Sebastian Janikowski. I think my new theory on picking a kicker is going to be find a team that is playing a bad defense but doesn't have a great offense. So a lot of times they'll put up some yards but stall out. And also, Sebastian Janikowski has a pretty strong leg, so I'm going with him at $5,000.
Okay. I also went with Janikowski.
You did?
You got a lot of Twitter backfire?
A lot of backlash.
You have to do an apology.
I deleted the tweet. Luckily, once you delete something from the internet, it's gone forever.
Yeah. Good.
All right. So both of you guys went with Janikowski. This is great. All right, so both of you guys picked... you didn't both pick
Terrell Pryor. Oh, no. Let's do defenses before you...
Hold on. You both picked Eddie Lacy. You both picked Jordy Nelson. You both picked Sebastian Janikowski. Tell me who you have. Chris, tell me who you have a defense, then Doug, you don't let me know.
I don't think I've ever done this on FanDuel, but for the same reasons I gave earlier... I saved some money, and I went with Seattle's defense at home against a beyond inept Tampa Bay offense. I see it getting ugly really quick. I know it's probably famous last words, and Tampa will play this like it's their Super Bowl, but I just can't see a situation where Seattle doesn't rack up some points against Tampa. And I don't know how you guys felt, but I wasn't overly confident in any of the other matchups in terms of defense and who they're playing to the extent that it was with Seattle just beating the crap out of Tampa Bay this week.
Well, they're in the bird's nest. I think I've heard many analysts say that Seattle is the toughest place to play in. Tampa Bay has a really, really long way to travel to get there. And
Tampa Bay is the least hardest place to play.
I just think, yeah, I mean, Seattle's an awesome defense, and they're at home where it's supposed to be one of the toughest places to play. So they're number one, they're the number one overall bargain, and they're projected to have the most points for a reason. So, yeah, if you have the money, absolutely do it.
Yep.
Doug, what about you?
Yeah, I would piggyback on that. I would say if you have the money, for sure, Seattle was the best choice out of all of them. I did not have the money, so I went with the New Orleans Saints. I think that's going to be a shootout, and the Jets are not going to be able to keep up, and then they're going to try and press it, and with young quarterback and not really a good offense, a lot of mistakes can happen in a game like that. So I think the Saints at 5,500 is a pretty good deal.
Yeah, I looked at the Saints. I had just enough to get the Kansas City Chiefs. I had New Orleans in my lineup. I wanted the Seahawks, but I was $100 short. So I settled with the number one defense in the league, which is the Kansas City Chiefs, on the road against Buffalo. It's the second overall bargain and second overall highest projected points. I don't think it needs a lot of explanation. They scored four touchdowns. It caused tons of turnovers. That's kind of the reason they're undefeated is because of their defense, I think. So, for me, I not having the money, I had to go with Kansas City Chiefs, and I feel pretty good about it. I think I called off calculating our team's scores based on the projections because I don't think it really matters. I think the spreadsheet is basically a guideline, you know. We're putting together the experts' projections, but doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to be the end-all, be-all, which we found out from week to week. But I would like to know, out of each of your teams, if you have one player that you think really want to tell our listeners, this is the guy you've got to have, based on the matchup, based on how many points you think he's going to get, or the value... who is that lock of the week who is your holy steal for this week, Doug?
So I know you did a little brief synopsis about why this is not going to work, but I'm telling you, choose Matt Forte. He is the number one running back right now because he's catching the most passes out of the backfield. He's getting lots of yards. You say they don't have Keller. That's a problem. I look at it the other way, that they're going to really rely on Matt Forte to bail him out of some spots. So my lock of the week is Matt Forte.
Okay. I mean, it was kind of the same thing with St. Louis. Everyone knew that they were.
No, but it's a much better backup than a lot of situations. I mean, they put on 45 on the Redskins before.
Trying to help your argument.
Oh, okay.
St. Louis here has a god-awful backup QB. And everyone knew they were going to run it, and he still got over 100 yards. So, I mean, if you look at it that way, yeah. If they have to rely on Matt Forte more, then, you know, he's going to get more touches, and he's a good running back, he's going to get more yards, equals more points. I mean, I get it. I'm just worried that they're going to stack the box, and I don't know how it's going to work out. Chris, who's your lock of the week?
Sadly, my lock of the week is going to be Le'Veon Bell from Pittsburgh. Healthy now after his initial injury as a rookie for quite a few weeks now. I feel like he's going to get fed the ball pretty often. And like I said, they're going to make him the focal point of the offense. Pittsburgh doesn't have a lot to play for this year, in my opinion, so they're going to see what they have moving forward. Le'Veon Bell was a high draft pick who they want to make look good. And I can't think of a better time for the coaches to give him the ball and showcase him than against the Patriots defense, who is searching for an identity up front. So Le'Veon Bell, at his value and with that matchup, I think is a good pick for a steal of the week this week.
Okay. So the guy who is the guy who costs the least amount of money on my team, who is the number one overall bargain on my team based on the spreadsheet, is Denarius Moore, who is at home, and he's playing against Philadelphia. 4,900, he's projected at 16.2. He's almost, this is the second time, I've never seen anybody, except for once, whose dollars per point was less than $300. He's $302 per point. Like I said before, it's the Eagles secondary. They've given up more receptions than any other team. They've given up more fantasy points to wide receivers than any other team in the league. I just think it's the right matchup, and for $4,900, you're not going to find a better bargain at any position. So my steal of the week is Denarius Moore. You guys want to recap your teams real quick? Go ahead.
Really quick, Brendan. Who is throwing the ball to Denarius Moore?
Well, it's your boy, Terrell Pryor, who I couldn't take a risk on this week. You know what? I like the pick, especially against the matchup, because Terrell Pryor has the ability to run also. And one of the reasons that I chose him was because I was worried that even if he has an option, I think, you know, if his number one option isn't available, he's going to look to run before he goes and checks down. And coming off a bye, I think I'm hoping that their offense is going to click. But if it doesn't, Terrell Pryor is going to look to run. So I like that pick also. I like that pick. I think weeks 2 through 7, I like that pick.
Thanks.
All right, I'm going to recap my team. Why don't you guys go ahead and recap your team? Actually, you know what? There's no need to recap. We got it all on the website. If you want to see the teams, go to FanDuelManual.com. We got everything on there from our podcast to our spreadsheet to our picks to our steals of the week. I think you should go check out our Facebook page and like it. If you want to send your questions, send them to FanDuelManual@gmail.com, or you can always hit us up at FanDuelManual on Twitter. Chris, I got to give you the last word. I know you won the Expert League. I want to give a little bit of a shout-out to Brent Peters, coming in second 2 weeks in a row. But, Chris, I want to give you the last week with for holding off anybody else besides the experts from winning that league. And also, of course, because you just celebrated another Boston victory.
Well, thank you, Brenda. It feels good to be a champion. I think if I'm going to help out our listeners here, I would advise that you listen to our podcast and listen to what we have to say and get your own wheels turning in your own head. But in terms of setting up your team, I would wait as long as you can so you have the most up-to-date information and you can make some wise choices and set your team up that way. Don't just go for the big names. Go for the most up-to-date information because that's like Brendan was saying earlier, you don't just pick C.J. Spiller because he's C.J. Spiller anymore. You find out who's playing, you find out who's not playing. And if you find out, 12 p.m. that Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller aren't playing, then you start to shard choice for $4,500 and you make out like a bandit. So be savvy in that way, too. Again, our podcast is on Wednesday, but try to hold out and make some wise, savvy decisions with some current information. If you do that, you'll make money like we do.
That's right. I would ask Doug, but I think Doug's already watching TV on full blast at his house. So I think that's it. Oh, Doug, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I'm watching the sweet movie.
Great.
No, what I would like to say, just the last thing, is I'm very proud of you guys for winning the tournament. I think that bodes well for us as, we're supposed to be advisors, and the last 2 weeks we've won open tournaments for everyone. And we'll have the tournament up on the site tomorrow. If you guys want to follow and get all the updates, make sure you follow our fan page up to 400 likes in less than a week. So the more, the better. So we really appreciate it.
All right, gentlemen. Have a good night. We'll see you on FanDuel Sunday.
All right, man.
Bye.
Yo. It's Marky Mark here. This is the FanDuel Manual. When I was in third grade, I thought football was lame. Until I saw Elway throw a long bomb on Sunday. Then it really grew on me. Started playing fantasy. Realized Adam Schefter was the man of my dreams. Some X's and O's. That's what we are slinging. Football knowledge is what we are bringing. Rodgers at quarterback, the Niners on D. McCoy is your tailback and Gronk at TE. Make sure you check your matchups, those can get tricky. Start any wideout playing Oakland or Philly. Now sit back, relax, focus and listen. The FanDuel Manual, three men on a mission, yeah.